Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today on the program, we're speaking with Juan Zuniga. He's an international transactions attorney and the managing partner at Ramon Law, a global law firm with 46 offices around the world and climbing. Juan is one of the first members of the Latinx community to be appointed to the managing partner position. And Mr. Zuniga, thanks for joining us here today.
Thank you for having me, Eric. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're certainly more than welcome. I know you stay busy, so we really do appreciate your time and joining us here today. So for starters, tell us all about your practice and role at Ramon Law to kick things off today.
It's interesting that you ask, because as I moved into the position of managing partner, I did put aside most of my legal practice representing clients. But back when I was more active representing clients, what I used to do was primarily focus on the representation of, let's just say, the movement of capital investment in real estate projects across borders. So in that regard, we might focus on, say, U.S. private equity investment going to work into building, constructing, developing, investing in housing projects, shopping centers, industrial projects, real estate projects into Latin America, mostly Mexico, Colombia. And then more recently, I've personally done some of the opposite, which is what I call inbound work, in which we're representing Latin American interests who are looking to diversify their investment portfolio by investing in U.S. real estate product. So basically, it's the flow of capital across borders with particular focus in real estate. Since then, however, more precisely since September, I've been in the role of managing partner here at Ramon Law, and that's a completely new set of challenges for me. Instead of representing actual clients and their legal needs, now I represent my lawyers within the organization and trying to get my organization to grow and be recognized as a leader in the legal service industry in the U.S. and globally.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks for sharing about your practice and your role there at Ramon Law. That is helpful. Now, tell me, lots of firms are struggling with retaining talent and finding proper work-life balance as well for their attorneys. How and why do you believe Ramon is thriving in this environment? Get into that a little bit, if you would.
Wow. Okay. So it's really interesting because I was in a call the other day in which someone made the comment that traditional law firms are not really built or constructed to serve the attorneys that work there, and they don't even work very well for the clients that they're supposed to service. Whereas at Ramon, what we did was we tried to construct a firm that provided cutting-edge legal services that took into account both the needs of the client and the needs of the attorney, the individual partner who works here. And one of the ways that we did this was to create an alternative compensation formula in which lawyers are paid directly in proportion to the amount that they produce and collect with respect to their clients. And in doing so, we also put the economic relationship, the value relationship with the client directly with the lawyer who's providing the service. So most law firms dictate from above what are going to be billing rates and charges. And you might have an administrative person in a faraway city who doesn't know the attorney personally and doesn't know the client of the attorney and doesn't know the importance of the matter and is not able to fairly calculate what the true value is for the service. The only way that you calculate is by blind economic metrics, charge something per the hour. Whereas under our structure, the attorney has the direct interface with the client to be able to determine what the value, the economic value of our service is. And so what you've got then is a one-on-one relationship between an individual lawyer and their client, where they strike an economic bargain in which both sides feel that they're being treated fairly. And then on the collection side of the law firm, which is where I operate, we pay our lawyers directly related to what they produce. So we recognize that our lawyers are going to be incentivized to make money. They're not going to undercut their services. So they're going to charge a fair wage to the client. The client's going to be happy because the client got to negotiate that wage. The lawyer is happy because we at the organization are going to pay them a given percentage of what they actually produce. So we've really flattened the economic formula to make it not, it's not even mathematical, one of my partners says. It's simply arithmetic. You produce X, you get a percentage of X, and it's as simple as that. And then we allow you to be the interface between you and the client to determine what X is going to be without management interfering. And so there's a collateral effect of that, Eric, which is happy lawyers. So you were asking about retention, which is the basis of your question. I've got a bunch of happy lawyers because they've got control of their economic destiny in the relationship with the clients. The clients value that relationship, so they stick with a lawyer and they stick with the firm. And we don't have attrition problems. We don't have retention problems. What we have is a situation where we're looking for more talent, and that talent needs to become, let's say, more socialized and more aware of how this economic formula is going to benefit them.
Hey, some very helpful feedback there once again, and thanks for getting into that on how you're retaining talent and also finding that proper work-life balance for your attorneys. Good stuff there. Now, can we speak to Ramon's ever-expanding Latin America practice? How important is geographical inclusivity and the sharing of core competencies across offices? Touch on that a little bit.
Yeah, and I might even touch on it beyond Latin America. I mean, I focus a lot on Latin America because that's where my practice has been as a private lawyer before going into management. So it's kind of a natural flow from my perspective to be thinking about it. But it goes beyond Latin America. In the reality of the world today, Eric, as you and your listeners know, this is a global economy. You know, what happens in Shanghai when, you know, you've got a shutdown because of the Chinese government's zero tolerance policy on COVID has a ripple effect all the way through the global economy when a major economic hub like that stops producing. And so the world is globalized. Our clients are globalized. Our firm needs to be globalized. And to be able to be globalized, we need to have effective either presence or relationships in countries that are key economic centers for our clients. And so when we talk about key economic centers, that can be a lot of different things. It can be places where products are manufactured, like Mexico. It could be places where raw materials and industry are sort of a core of the economy locally, like Colombia. Or they can be financial centers like London or Frankfurt. So those are places where we aspire to have offices, or we actually do have offices, because that's where our clients are. To be able to be an effective global law firm, you need to be where your clients are. You need to be where they're doing business with their counterparts or where they're looking to invest. And so as a law firm, we need to be aware of what's happening globally and to have our finger on the pulse globally. So, you know, some law firms decide that they don't want to be global. They want to be, domestic or regional. The way our firm has grown is that because of a natural tendency of the expansion process, which has been kind of organic previously, but that economic model that I was sharing with you before is also attractive to non-US lawyers, lawyers that are practicing in other jurisdictions, led to us having global presence. Once you're there, you got to go all in, either all in or all out. So I'm very excited about the prospects of what we could do globally. What we've already done nationally in the U.S. Has been to a great degree innovative, groundbreaking. I don't want to say disruptive because I think that's a little bit arrogant, but some people might say that. And we got to carry that to the next level, which is globally in the key markets where our clients are.
And once again, we want to thank you for taking a moment to be with us here today. Certainly enjoyed the information you have shared so far. We're speaking with Juan Zuniga. He is an international transaction attorney and the managing partner at Ramon Law, a global law firm with 46 offices around the world and climbing. He's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, what are the challenges of doing business virtually and what are the opportunities in the legal industry in those regards?
Yeah, so that's a really interesting question, and I'd say interesting for us as a law firm, let's just call it with respect to our legacy, okay? So what I mean by that is that our firm was originated, created on the notion that we could probably provide quality legal services at better value, at lower cost to the client, if we leverage technology, right? And so when the firm was built or founded in about 2008, there was already a notion of, I don't necessarily want to say virtual because there's maybe a negative connotation for that, but let's say remote, and sometimes people will call it distributed, meaning that there was no center of operations. People will ask you, well, where's your firm headquarters? And most firms are located in whatever, Silicon Valley, San Francisco, New York, Chicago, Washington. Well, if you ask me, where's our headquarters, I'll say the cloud, okay? And I say the cloud because we are decentralized in the notion that we want to leverage the cloud and technology to be able to drive those services at a more effective cost and value for the client. So without carrying such overhead like very expensive and fancy real estate leases like a lot of law firms do, you know, they go for the prestige, they think that's a definition of what is quality legal services. We dispensed with all of that and said, let's leverage technology to our benefit to have better costs. And then also to have more profitability for the lawyers themselves, kind of what I was alluding to before, because if we've got lower costs, the lawyers can strike a better economic bargain with the clients. So we start on the basis that we were cloud-based, we were distributed, we were remote. And then the pandemic comes along, as you know. And so, you know, everyone in the universe comes to a screeching halt in March 2020 when you've got quarantine and stay-at-home orders. And a lot of law firms might have already started to be more remote and virtual, but mostly with respect to lawyers and not with respect to staff. So a lot of law firms ended up going through a very, very difficult transition during the pandemic, and especially in its early days, and we were already there, okay? We were already virtually operating from the very moment of our inception in 2008. So for us, the pandemic didn't cause us to miss a beat. We just kept humming right along. And what's interesting now is a lot of the debate is, I'm sure you know, Eric, about, okay, let's go back to the office, right? And what are the benefits of going back to the office versus the benefits of working remotely? So for us, that's not even a question because we don't need to go back to the office, given the fact that we were always leveraging technology to be able to work remotely or hybrid whenever we wanted to. The challenge for any organization, I think, that's in a service business in which you are particularly trying to also cultivate people coming up through the ranks is the notion of, can you mentor junior people in a virtual or remote environment? And you could probably make an assessment of what we call, you know, the millennial and the Gen Z generation being comfortable working remotely. And so from their perspective, that's not a big deal perhaps, but from a perspective of trying to get someone to learn appropriate skills and to mentor them and to give them quality feedback, what it takes, I submit, is an extra effort to say, let's put some time on our calendar for mentoring. Okay, let's take an extra pause to be able to make sure that the people that we're bringing up through the ranks get appropriate feedback. Because I think there's a natural tendency in the remote environment to just log out when you're done and move on to the next project. And if you're an up and coming professional, someone needs to take the pause and need to take the time to be able to guide you to make you more effective. So I think that's where the challenges are going to be across the industry, and certainly ones that we're going to face. But we didn't have a hiccup when the pandemic came and the work from home environment became mandatory. I think what's going to be challenging for us right now is to distinguish ourselves, because it's one thing to say, oh, great, you were the remote hybrid based law firm when you started out. Well, now everyone has the ability to be hybrid, to be remote. What does that mean going forward? And what are the challenges going forward? So I think, you know, it's still an evolving situation. You know, you see it on the news all the time, whether banks or investment bankers or financial services or accountants or law firms are going to go back to the office. They're facing the challenge of what to do. We're not. We're just happy where we are because we've always been this way.
Really interesting information and feedback there, especially COVID and where you were then and where you are today. Really, really interesting details there. And speaking of looking ahead, where do you see Ramon Law, say, 5 years from now?
So One of the things that I did, Eric, was before I became managing partner, I commissioned a survey internally of my partners. You know, so we had at the time maybe 170 partners around the U.S. and in other countries as well, to try and assess what are the needs. And when I say what are the needs of a growing law firm that aspires to be global and also hybrid like we are, I was focusing on three particular elements. So let's just call them the three legs of the stool. And those three legs are: what practice areas do you want to be in? You might be corporate securities lawyers, you might be bankruptcy lawyers, you might be real estate lawyers. So we got to figure out what are our core competencies in legal services, and how does our model foster better productivity depending on what practices you might be in. The other is what regions, right? In what cities and in what other countries is it important for us to have a material presence? And that might be either a new office or deepening the bench in an existing city where we already have attorneys. And the third leg of the stool is industry sectors. So that goes to where are our clients? Are clients in technology? Are they in life sciences? Are they in manufacturing? Are they in fintech? Are they in professional services, right? So when you build a law firm, I think you want to be thinking about those three elements, right? Core competencies in the legal profession, what regions you want to be in, and where are the industries that your clients want to be in. So focusing on that survey, one of the things that we wanted to do was grow to the point where we would have a bit more of a de facto recognition of us being a well-known industry law firm, industry player that's not necessarily tied anymore to our sort of virtual and technology driven roots. So if I'm talking to you or someone in the press, we used to lead with the notion that, oh, we're technology leverage, right? We're virtual, we're hybrid, whatever it is you want to call it. I actually want to de-emphasize and say, no, we are solid legal practitioners in these particular areas, well known for being able to handle these types of transactions, right? Build a reputation, not on the technology side of the ledger, but much more on the competency side of the ledger. So that's one challenge. And one of the things that we aspire to is to eventually get into what's known as the Am Law 200, which is the 200 largest law firms in the United States based on revenue as determined by American Lawyer Magazine. So that's one set of goals. And then the other set of goals is essentially to build out those competencies that I was talking about before that derived from the internal partner survey that we took of our core needs. So what I'm hoping to be able to do is to build a couple of practices that will be very well recognized in the legal industry that we become focused on and that help us also with our global growth as well. So, you know, that's kind of like the internal thinking of managing partnerness, trying to say, you know, who do you want to be and how do you get there? It's a little bit convoluted, and sometimes you build a strategy and you need to change it. Sometimes you build a strategy and for whatever reason, organic growth takes you in a different direction, and you got to be able to be nimble and agile and go with it. You don't want to necessarily grow just for the sake of growth. You want to grow with a purpose, and that's kind of what I'm trying to focus on, growing with a purpose.
Mr. Zuniga, really appreciate your visit with us here today and a lot of takeaways here. Especially doing it with a purpose, that certainly, those final words is a great way to conclude here today on this episode of Enterprise Radio. Where can listeners connect with you and get more information online on Ramon Law?
Well, you can reach out to our PR and our marketing team, Sam Amsterdam and Fiona Carlin. You can also reach out to us through our various social media channels, messaging us through Twitter or LinkedIn or whatever is your preferred social media platform, or just go to the website, RamonLaw.com. And on that website, there's ways to contact us and learn more about the firm. And also there's a little white paper in there that's really interesting, which is, it's a fairly lengthy, but I think a very detailed critique of the history of the legal services and law firm model in the United States, how it got to where it is, and how fundamentally it's broken, I think, and misaligned with the interest of the lawyer and the client. It's almost like the firms are created now to service themselves instead of service the clients and service the lawyers who work there. So it's an interesting critique that goes back to the notion that I was saying before. What we tried to do was build a law firm that was beneficial to the lawyers and to the clients before it's beneficial to the firm as an institution, if you will.
And that right there is some great bonus detail right there. And listeners, you can find it all at RamoneLaw.com. Mr. Zuniga, all the best. Thanks for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you, Eric. It was a pleasure to be here. And feel free to reach out to us if you ever need anything. We're happy to talk to your listeners about with their client needs or about the legal industry in general and where things are going. These are certainly interesting times.
Yeah, we're certainly living in interesting times for sure. And again, we really appreciate what you do. Again, we've been speaking with Juan Zuniga. He's an international transactions attorney and the managing partner at Ramone Law, a global law firm with 46 offices around the world. And for all the details, visit RamoneLaw.com. And this is Eric Dine. You've been listening to Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.